tackle five. This is the last. It's bounced away to Thurston. Comes up Blair. Got rid of Blair. Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball.
Good morning, guys. Hope we're doing well. Hope we all had a good Christmas, good New Year's. Getting all ready for the new Supercoach season. How are you, Julian?
Yeah, good. Yourself?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. How was your Christmas, New Year's? Good break?
I was pretty good, but like always, every time this year, keen to get back into some Supercoach.
Yeah, that's it. I bet you've been losing sleep over this holiday period, not just thinking about your team, but you've got a nice little bub keeping you awake.
Yeah, she's just nearly on 7 months now and she's sleeping pretty well and gets me a bit of time at the moment, like while she's asleep, to do a bit of research.
Very good, very good. All right, let's kick it off. Let's talk about the upcoming seasons. Let's start off with our hookers. So do you want to start with that? I know we're both looking at different hookers, but who have you chosen in your hooker spot?
So I'm pretty excited for the season and like I'm thinking I can't go past Grant myself. I did a recent write-up on him. I don't know if I've shared it yet to Totally Addicted to Supercoach, the Facebook page we also work on. But yeah, like I looked at last year and he started 2022 with a 94.7 round average. And I just think he's the type of player who, yes, he's had a few niggling injuries from a few last seasons, but if he's fit and firing, if he starts real fast like Storm do, what about yourself?
I've gone Reece Robson at the moment, purely based on draw and momentum. Cowboys have got a pretty good draw to start the year, but Grant's over 800,000. I know you said Storm do start very fast, but just the hovering cloud over Pappenhausen, and you know they've got a brand new forward pack pretty much, so Grant's just a wait and see for me at this time. But I like what Robson did last year, so at the moment I've gone with Reece Robson, but I've also gone with Sonny Luke on the bench.
Yeah,
there's chat that he's gonna get that start, but obviously Kenny's still there and he's still fighting for a spot. But any Panthers fan will tell you that Sonny Luke is the up and coming, just waiting for Carousel to make way or sustain injury or whatnot. And that was one or two games that he had last year were really promising. Showed good attack, good signs. Definitely a lot to go forward. And I don't think he can provide the same service to Yo and whatnot as what Carousel can. But at 234,000, you can't go past him. You've got to have a bench spot for him, surely.
Yeah, I'm just worried that, Cleary showed at the end of the season with Kenny starting, taking that brunt of the defense, the forwards going hard, first 40 odd minutes, and then Appy would come on. So I'm worried that might be a bit similar case with Sonny. They might just rotate, share minutes.
Yeah.
But I definitely see him in the 17. That's just something I'd like to see, and we get a good chance at that with the World Cup challenge in the coming weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. See, Brandon Smith making his way to Bondi this year as well. Harry Grant looks like he might be playing the 80. They do have that Wishart, was it, that played a bit of dummy half last year, but he got moved around a fair bit with injuries and whatever. But let's just hope Harry Grant does keep that full game, that 80 minutes.
Well, I did find it interesting when I did look at Grant. He did play a number of 80-minute games last year, whereas the year before, obviously, he was injured a lot. He played 8 80-minute games last year. No, that was back when he was at the Tigers, so it was a bit different. But he did play a number of 80-minute games last year. So I'm not really banking on the 80 minutes, but just the start fast. I did look at the State of Origin period. He dropped off, so that could be a consideration as well, selling him then. And then like to a Robson or someone who doesn't have State of Origin. But yeah, my second hooker, like you said, you had Sonny at the moment. I've got Brennan Smith, just because I think what the chance he has, like he made it pretty clear in 2021 that he was fighting for that hooker position, and then started the season, it looked like with the trials that Grant had won that position, only for then Grant to have the MCL injury or something, and then next thing you know, Brendan Smith's like thrown into playing hooker, and he wasn't fit for that role. He was sort of transitioning into that middle forward role.
Yeah, he's carrying a few more kilos.
Yeah, so I think he was a bit sort of, he played his role in 2021, but he was a bit sort of upset last year, I'd say, and that's probably led to the signing. So given, like, he's not the best, he doesn't have the best service, but knowing him, he's someone I don't really want to antipod. Because I think, like, yes, I know you look at his average 2021, it was 68 average playing them hooker games, but the forward pack's great at Roosters. Roosters have points everywhere, and he'll get that role on, and he'll go for the try every time he can. So I am excited. I just, like, I could look cheaper, but I'm just, he's in there now at the moment for me.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Connor Watson going down as well definitely will boost Smith's stocks, no doubt.
What do you make of that? Like, because a lot of people have been saying that that makes way for Turpin to go to.
No, if you know, Brandon Smith's one of their marquee signings this year, so I don't see them sharing, you know, even time on the bench or in the hooker in role. I think Brandon Smith will start. You know, they do have Victor Radley there that can shift and stuff as well. Like, I expect Brandon Smith to start a hooker and maybe 60 minutes in move to a lock or even come off maybe. But
yeah, I definitely see Brandon Smith will have more. Yeah, it's playing 60, 65 minutes. And
yeah,
I don't see Turpin there at all. I see him as a injury cover. Like, they got rid of Verrills. They had Ben Marshek, I think it was, the year before he went. So they don't really have cover there. I reckon you'd probably see Hutchinson come on, and he can play a number of positions.
Yeah, he'll fill the 14 or a bench spot at least. But they really haven't had – that's what the Roosters have really lacked is a hooker. Ever since Friend left, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So Brandon Smith's going to fill that void. They'll be very happy about that. I think they'll play him as much as they can.
I was definitely just thinking that, like, he fits that Friend role, like, that gets in, does his work.
Yeah.
If he works up to his 80 minutes, or I reckon he'll push it, like, and Robbo will love that. He'll keep him on there.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen a few teams looking to start with Jerry Marshall-King. Aaron Clark's another one that pops up. Even Reed Marnie at the Bulldogs this year, looking fresh, but I don't think you can go past your Robson, your Harry Grant, your Luke, and your Brandon Smith. I think they're the four most common that people are going to start with.
I think an interesting one, like, I do, yeah, like, I think Jeremy Marshall-King, he did really work well into the season last year, but Bennett's been a known killer of hookers. Like, look at Broncos in the position there, and they haven't had a hooker for years. I'm interested. I was really interested on Jaden Brayley when Team Picker first opened up, and Brandon Smith was, well, before it opened up, and we were going off the idea that Brandon Smith would be second row jewel. And Jaden Brayley, like, finished last year with a pretty serious average let me just look at it. He finished with a five game average of 70 points returning from that injury. And that's when he moved back into the 80-minute role. And back in 2021, over the first nine rounds, he averaged 74 points. And Knights do have a pretty easy-ish sort of run. I know it's the Knights, but he is someone who can find an attacking stat, even though we know he's a base sort of hooker. But, yeah, just at the price, it's a bit risky to go from, like, a Grant or a Robson down to him's another 100K, say. And then if either of them two kill it and he doesn't, then you're sort of stuck there.
Well, hooker's a very versatile position that you can plug in there at the moment. See, there's other players like your Ray Stone I've seen quite popular, even Cody Nikurima. If Cody Nikurima drags a permanent spot in the halves there, I don't think he will at the Dolphins with O'Sullivan and Milford. They signed Milford? They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
a lot of talk,
fairly pushing there.
A lot of talking up Tana Boyd as well. It's been
talk
is he's going to get number seven inside David Fifita.
Yep.
And at the moment, he's still got hooker jewel. And he's rather underpriced.
Anything could happen with that.
Yeah.
Aaron Clark at the Titans as well. If he plays, you know, 65 minutes in that lock, he's not a bad shout at hooker. He's dual as well.
Yeah, it's just trusting the Titans, really.
Yeah, first coach to be sacked, I've heard as well.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Front rowers. At the moment, in my side, in the team picker, I've got Tarpany and Haas starting, and I've got Utukumanu and V Fifita as the bench reserves there. I've only got Fifita there from Manly, only because he's a dual, second row and front row, just to have that flexibility. But Haas and Tarpany for me are probably the standouts. There is a lot of Tino selectors and stuff, but to me, I just don't think the points are going to come this year from the front rowers. I know Tarpany finished the back third of the season, or back half of the season on fire. He was the one to have, but just 700,000 on a front rower to start the year is a fair chunk. What do you think?
Yeah, interesting. I've got the same bar, your final reserve. I've got Franklin Pelle in there, and I'm not sure he'll get a run, but like, he's got big raps coming out of Sharks and Bulldogs now. So he's just there, like, sort of same position as you, just as a filler. But I'm swaying back and forth. Like, when I first opened up Team Picker, put in Tarpany and Haas. Now, I think I've picked Haas every year, so I'm a Haas supporter, like, and he's like the one Bronco that I think I can rely on. After I have, like, a few teams, I've had a lot of Broncos, and they let me down, but he's usually, like, last year, I don't think you started with him, and I did, and I talked you into it, sort of, and he started really, really well.
Fell off a cliff after that, but.
Yeah, but I think there's plenty of reasons why. And same with Tarpany. Like, Tarpany's priced at a 66 average, and what he did in that middle part of the season, he was, like, pumping out, like, 75 average. So, you can look at both as being unders at a point. Compared to some of the other names getting thrown around, like Daniel Saifidi, Matthew Lodge, or Lindsay Collins, either of them could, one week, could get more minutes than the other. Luke Thompson, but then they've got all the inclusions of their other forwards. Like, there's a lot of risk in them mid-ranged picks, which brings me back to, I think I just want to, I know it's costly, I know it's painful, but I just want to lock in them two solid guys for the season. Like Haas, yes, he's got State of Origin most likely, but at least that first, they don't have a bye, the Broncos, till past the State of Origin round. So you can lock him in, barring injury, for that whole first chunk of the season. So yeah, them two are my, like, I don't want to really downgrade them. I'll make cuts elsewhere, I think. Not to half or fullback or hooker, but I really want to lock them two in and just keep it there. Like, I think last year I saw Bunty, what's his name, Fanua Blake, and he really hurt me. The year before that, I started with Lodge, but going cheaper again, and that really hurt as well. And then I find you're spending trades on a position that you don't really want to spend trades.
No, that's right. If you spend the money on Tarpany and Haas, you just want to leave them locked there and just let them do their thing. Like, they might pump out a 40-50, but, you know, if they get a try assist line break, you're looking at 70 the next week. Like, they'll just motor along and do their thing. Very, very minimal tons, but they'll get the job done.
Well, there is a world where, like, Tarpany could be, like, that 75-point average forward, like, week in, week out, if he's given that 55 minutes odd, which I think he was working to last year. He became that real leader of the pack. They've lost Elliot Whitehead, who was playing 56-odd minutes in – no, not Elliot Whitehead. What's his name? Elliot – who's went to the Knights. What's his name now?
Isn't it just Elliot?
Yeah.
Surname Elliot?
Yeah.
Adam Elliot?
Adam Elliot, yeah. And he was playing 56 minutes odd in the middle when he finally got the lock roll. So, and they've lost Hodgson, and there was a bit of that. Like, I know he was out mostly with injury, but the year before he was taking some of that middle roll to get Starling some minutes. Sort of, it was really messy. And, like, obviously got Ricky there, and he loves to chop and change, but I think Tarpany had his few run-ins with Ricky. Yes, it was a contract year last year, but he really dominated, like certified his spot there and his role.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't Ricky just mess with the hooker rotation last year?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's the beauty of, like, even with Robson, I don't see him as a bad pick. I just prefer Grant, and I know it's that 100K more, but it's just, even with Brandon Smith there, it's just, I got talked into Starling last year, and yeah, it was just a nightmare.
Yeah, I followed suit, and it was pulling my hair out. It was crazy.
So just on Itu, or Uto, or however you want to call it, say his last name, I've just bunged it. But what do you expect from him?
Not much, to be honest. Tigers have got a very good signing, across their front row, their second row. They've got Clemmer. I know they've signed a few more, so I'm expecting their forward pack to go right, actually, to be honest, the Tigers. But Utukumano, he's always injured, and when he does play bigger minutes, he just doesn't perform. So for him to come in at a 300,000, very low 300,000, is pretty on point, I think. But just with all the buys and stuff, I think it's going to be the year of the midi. I'm sure we've heard all that before, but that's what I'm looking at. If I can find someone else that jumps out, I wouldn't hesitate in replacing him in my side, I don't think.
Yeah, he's one I really want to see in the trials and see, like, if his fitness is there. He was injured last year for a bit. But if he looks to be starting, like, I think that makes me a bit more interested. I wouldn't start him over a Haas or a Tarpany, but, like, you look back at his 2020 season and a 2021 season, and he averaged 45 points from 38 minutes. That was starting from the bench. So even if he was just to get that 40 minutes, 45 minutes starting with Klemner there, with even off of Hengawi, who really impressed last year. I think that's enough to be a bench forward, and you'll make your money, or he'll be a solid backup for a buy round or something like that. Another thing I looked into him, and it sort of excites me, is because, you know, we all know, and there was sort of the talk about, there was the other thinking last year with starting him, because he was really on everyone's radar, was starting position. He can find the try line. The back end of the year, he found the try line a lot. And Tigers signed a really good hooker in Appy, a premiership.
A lot of go forward.
So, and he'll have a lot of that say in the attack, I think, too, because while Brooks and Dewey are sort of set up there, and they're the halves, but Appy just adds that extra layer. And I went back and looked at the three hookers Tigers used last year. They had Little, they had Brown, and they had Simkin all in different roles last year playing hooker. Not one of them had a try assist or line break assist between them.
Yeah, right.
Whereas Appy had 13 try assists and 14 line break assists for 2022 for the Panthers. Now, not saying, like, Utukumano is going to be the benefactor of that, but, like, we know Clemmer hasn't scored a try for years. I don't think he ever has scored a try, but he's a young prop. Like, I think the forwards of other teams will target Clemmer, hit him, and he's sort of someone that can grow under that leadership from Clemmer, I think, as well.
Yeah, true.
But it could all be theoretical, and he might not even start. He might get 20 minutes off the bench.
Wait and see. Moving on, we got to the second row. So just to reveal what I've chosen at the moment, this is the one that I really chop and change right up to round one. I do a lot of swapping in the second row and center wings. But first off, I've got Nat Butcher. I'm expecting pretty good things from him if he can get a lot more game time, which I'm hoping he can. He's got a really good PPM, so I'm hoping for a few positives from him. I do have Aaron Clark. He can be moved up to the hookers as well. There's a lot of chatter coming out of the Titans camp that he looks to have locked up the 13 there. Katoa from the Storm. He's too juicy at 400,000. He should be ready to go at the Storm there under a good system as well. In the three reserves, I've got Jack Howarth, Jack Howarth or Jake Howarth, I'm not too sure. He's bottom dollar from the Storm. We didn't get to see him have a run last year, but we'll see how this year pans out. Luke Garner at 400,000, filling in there in the reserve spot. He looks to hopefully get a start with Penrith on that left side this time. And the sixth second row I've got there, sorry, is Geyer. Absolute bottom dollar. We did see a little bit of him last year and he looked very, very promising, but he's just a bit of a filler at the moment. Just to be able to hit that, save my team. But yeah, second row for me chops and changes a lot leading up to round one, but that's what I've gone with at the moment. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think this position and centre wing, we'll get to that as when we get there, is a position that, yeah, will chop and change a lot, because at the moment I think there's a lot of the cheapies are falling there, or a lot of the mids are falling there. And we're pretty set on other positions, like you've got your out-and-out guns and some of the guys that are undervalued. But yeah, I've got David Fifita, and you'll probably hate me for it because I think I talked to you into him last year, or you said, nah, don't do it. He's going to stuff you. But I've got him again, ready to get burnt. And I'll explain why in a second. I've got Luke Garner, like yourself, Elise Katoa, because I just think if he's in a good system, if he gets himself fit, gets rid of the injuries and stuff around, he can be something really damaging, like a Kikau or a Isaiah Papali'i. But like, he needs to get the start and he needs to get their minutes. I've got Hopgood, which I'm surprised you actually don't have.
Yeah, I looked. Like I said, it changes all the time.
And then I've got two 34K guys. I got Xavier Williamson, my only other Bronco in the team. Just because I think, well, just on him, I think he's front row forward, second row forward dual. He did show a bit. I think he played one game last year in first grade, but the year before he played a couple of games before doing his ACL. So he was returned from an ACL last year. I think he'll get the 17 or even the 15 jersey on the bench over Piacora, because he's more of an edge. So Willison's more of a middle, where we've lost, I think, TC Rabadi or Palasia. One of them signed with Titans. One of them's been stood down for or got sexual assault claims happening. We've lost Heverington for an extended period because he's torn his bicep. So we've only got really Jensen, who was starting for quite a bit last year, who's a bit of a plotter. He does his job, but he's starting. He's the only other really middle we've got in the system that's played first grade. And they've got big raps on Willison. So even if he just gets 30 minutes off the bench, sits there. Another interesting thing about him is Broncos played round 13. So with Haas and both Carrigan out, there's bound to be at least a couple more minutes here. I know that's 13 games into the season, he could well get injured, but it's just like, if he does play and he started and he's on the bench, that's sort of a little caveat there, saving me a trade. I can just sit him there. I'm not expecting amazing things, but he's just there. And I've got Dory at the moment for Paramount Eels. He's supposed to get the right edge spot vacated by Isaiah Papali'i. Like you sort of said, he's only there because he's just a filler at the moment and this changes. But yeah, he's in there.
I think strategy-wise with these fillers this year, like, we don't need to have fillers that are dual position and stuff that can move up and down and whatnot to cover that. Like, with all these buys that are going to happen, like, if you want to captain loop, as we all love to do, have that second shot, you're going to have players on the bench that having that buy anyway that you can use to make that loop happen. So my strategy, I like to go in with one or two nuffs just to create that loop and that versatility sort of thing and have two shots every week. But I don't think it's really necessary this year. You got to need as many players as you can get, I think, to field that 17 each week.
Yeah.
Gone are the days where you load up with Storm. Like, you know, there was a time when you had bloody Smith, Pappenhausen, the other Smith, had a car, whatnot. You had all of them. But Grant, you can't do that now. You can't have four or five players from each side, unless they've already played their bye, I suppose. But it's going to be very heavily strategized this year, I think.
So just where we're in second row forward, what are your thoughts on David Fifita? Because I know you're not the biggest fan.
I just don't like the roller coaster. that's just me. The problem is with David Fifita is a lot of people jump on him. Like he'll be pumping out 35-40s, and some people are happy with that, but I'm just not. I'm just not. But I guess the counterattack to it is if, you know, he does get a try and a line break and assist or something like that and grabs a 95 one week, then everyone just rips their team apart to get him.
That's it.
And I'm quite happy not to. That's just me. I don't know what it is. Like he did have a good. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't want to start with him. I don't want to start with him. I want to wait and see. I'd rather have a 400,000 midi there just to see how it goes. How much is Fifita? There you go. I haven't even.
He's under 700k.
689.
So if you like. Looking at the second row forwards, the ones that really stand out, like a Cameron Murray, I would love to fit him in because you know what you're getting. It's safe as.
There you go. I would rather a Cameron Murray all year over a David Fifita.
But I'll just throw some stats at you from David Fifita, all right? So last year he played 11 games for 80 minutes on an edge, and they chopped and changed, and he looked like a busted. Like he didn't want to play. He wasn't there. No one giving the ball. So 11 games on the 80 minutes. One of them games was 80 minutes at centre because Holbrook decided, oh, that'd be a great idea. He averaged 72 points. So he's from just them 80 minutes. So he's at a 65 average.
But see, those 72 points are, you know, a 120, a 130 or whatever, like a high score. But there's so many low scores in there that it's just an absolute roller coaster. Like, When a player pops out a 75 average, that's what I expect every week. I don't expect a 25-30.
Yeah.
And then the following week he gets a 110 or something like that. I just don't want to do that.
The other thing is, so you got an edge forward like David Fifita. He scored 7 tries last year compared to, I know it was Volandi's ball in 2021, but he scored 18 in 2021. So it's like...
He would have scored another 10 if...
they gave him the ball?
If they gave him the ball.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating. It was so frustrating.
He's in there, and we've both got our reasons with Luke Garner. Like, I know he's filling in. He's going into that left edge in Kikau's role. He's a different type of player, but he's shown potential at Tigers who are, let's be honest, have been one of the bottom sides the last few years. Eli Katoa has that same ability to find the line. It can be so damaging in their day. They just need that consistency and I think the system and the structure and the coach to back them.
Luke Garner's great, man. I like Luke Garner. Like he's dynamo. I thought he was great at Tigers. He runs a nice, hard, straight line. He's very gritty. It's one of them old school, you know, runners, but you throw him in the Penrith system. I'm expecting big things from him. He's 430,000 now. He'll be 600,000.
Yeah.
600,000 halfway
through
the season, easy.
Both him and Katoa, not keepers, but guys that can make you that quick money.
Yeah.
Probably move on to them, like to the Murray or to Angus, to Lane, if Lane's going great, or even Madison.
I thought you were going to say Fifita. Upgrade Garner to Fifita, Fifita.
No, because I've already got him, so I don't have to. That's all right. I do want to say one thing. One guy who is interesting me, and I don't know if I can get burnt again by him, but I'm sort of, if funds permit, I was thinking I could play around with it a bit. If we get another cheapie, I can move Garner up to this guy and then watch him over the 2 weeks and flip him back down because Panthers have the buy in round 3. So... Yeah. Garner's not going to raise price until round 4 after that third game.
Yes.
But there was a talk on Twitter the other day. There was a post about how Graham had came out and said, if we were to play this week, this round, I won't be in the starting 13. Now, you know I got burnt by Wilton, I think, twice or 3 times last year.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that potential he had on the edge, and I just looked at his numbers, and games over 60 minutes on that edge – he averaged 63 points from 74 minutes. So there's potential there, but we all know the elephant in the room and what the issue is.
Yeah.
So it is just someone that's toying on my mind. Like I could put him in there. He's more expensive than Garner. Then if it doesn't look like it's working out, if Graham's eating into his minutes, I'll bring him down to Ghana. But it is already like planning that trade if it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. And Wilton would have got a lot more try assists and stuff than what Graham does because he doesn't pass at all. So
yeah.
I haven't
really looked at on the halves.
Yeah. Let's we're cracking on a fair bit, but let's talk about halves and 5/8s together, eh? So
yeah.
I think it's no surprise in my halfbacks I've got Cleary and Hines, so that's where a lot of my money has gone. Cleary speaks for himself, and after the season Hines had last year, I think he sort of picks himself as well. I am a bit nervous about the Sharks. I don't know how they are going to start. I know while Hines started well last year, he didn't really start to hit his form until around that Origin period and then towards the back end of the season, I think. Whereas Cleary, that's Cleary's side, he's just going to dominate. I think you've got to spend the $800,000 on Cleary to start, and you've got to have him for the entirety, for the whole season.
Go on.
I'm just continuing on. So I've got in the 5/8s, I've got Adam Dewey. So there is a lot of discussion around Adam Dewey and what he's going to do at Tigers this year. I think with the service from Api Carasau, it's just going to give Dewey time, which is what he absolutely thrives on. Looks like he might retain the goal kicking as well. I don't think there's anyone there that's going to try and take that off him. So Dewey should be good, and especially with that forward pack, that go forward and service from dummy half, I think Dewey could do great things this year. He's a bit pricey, $600,000, $624,000, but I think he's going to keep those points ticking over for you. Reserve 5/8, I do have Josh Schuster, just like everybody else. He is the absolute worst player to watch on the field. He just absolutely frustrates the hell out of me. But at $240,000, I think you got to get him. As soon as he makes $1, I'm flicking him because he just annoys me.
Well, if scoring points was for throwing no look passes, he'd be a top point scorer.
Mate, he passed it to the touch judge 3 or 4 times last year, and it just I'm not even a Manly fan, but it just frustrates me.
I've got the same as you, exact same. I've got Cleary and Hines.
And a lot of people will.
Yeah. I've got Cleary and Hines, and like you said, there is a world where I know Cleary on value, he looks underpriced, like he's at a 79 average, but he had that suspension, like I think it was 4 points in 18 minutes or something against the Eels before semis. And he came back from that shoulder reconstruction, and the first two games he looked a bit hesitant. He didn't want to get involved with the tackles or running the ball, but the third game he came back and he blitzed. He had a 150-point game or something. I just think there could be a world where with Appy gone, that could impact him. He could get more ball and have more say on the attack, but he's just one that you lock in.
Do you feel with them new dummy halves there at Penrith, so your Kenny and your Luke, whoever it was to lock that up, do you feel like they will predominantly go to Cleary over the other side of Luai or what?
I think a lot of
training structure, I suppose.
Yeah, I think a lot of it goes through to Cleary or to Isaiah. Mm-hmm. So it'll either go either way, but I think Cleary will still have it won't change too much. They'll have their structures, they'll have their system. I just think like for 2 or 3 years now, he's been out and out half. You lock him up. Yeah. And same with like Nico Hines. Like people are saying, oh, he's really expensive. He had a career year last year, but we never really questioned paying up for Cleary every year. And Nicholas Hines, like you look at him last year and you're like, how's he on 55 points? He's done nothing. He's touched the ball once. He just like, and people would say it, he just accumulates points. Like he tackle busts, he tackles, he runs a ball, he kicks in grubbers. He's doing everything. And you look at the end of the day and he's got 80 points. And you're like, what's he actually done? He hasn't even had a try assist.
There was a lot of controversy around his season last year. So I saw a few articles. I can't remember who was dishing him out, but they called him like the arm lifter. So he carries that ball in one arm. And when they go to tackle him, he lifts that arm up and over the tackler, up and over the defender, and he slides through just enough to constitute that line break. So he was getting line breaks for fun, even though he was getting tackled. So lot of people were, or the people who didn't have him were kicking up a few stinks about that. But
and there's two arguments. Like, he could regress, like Sharks, like you said, you're a bit iffy about Sharks, but I actually see him on the improve. Like, they did really well with Fitzgibbon as a coach for the first season. Now, Finucane was out for a fair bit. Kennedy was out, which threw a bit of their structure out. Talakai thrown in at centre, who was training predominantly for middle, and we're not going to get into him because he's frustrating. Like, Graham returning and sort of affecting that left edge. So I think even Hines' kicking, like, he didn't – some of his goal kicking, you're like, geez, like, when's he going to hand it over? Because he's just losing points here. There's a world where, like, they've got Oregon Kafusi, who was in the grand final, like, who had an outstanding season with the Eels. They've got an actual probably unchanged side. So it's like, I'm happy to pay the money for Hines. Yes, he's pricey. Yes, he might drop that average down, but you know what you're sort of getting? He's got the ceiling. He's just the half just locks it in. It's just done.
Yeah. There's not much other discussion around that.
Just one thing. What about Munster?
No, not with the cheapie of Schuster there at 200, low 200,000, who does look like he's going to start for Manly, and having Adam Dewey there at 5'8", goal kicker, fresh forward pack. I just don't think you can go to start with Munster.
What about if he's playing fullback?
Oh, I didn't think of that. Well, what is the story with Papenhuyzen? I know last I read was just the other day that he's just starting to get a bit of a gallop up, but the fortnight before that, he self-declared that he wasn't even running, so...
Yeah, so he did come out and say something like, I know he's returning from the States yesterday or today, but I know he did come out and say something like he's not going to even think about playing until he's confident in running and in himself.
That injury he got, but that's one of the worst injuries you can have to your knees and stuff. Like, I know, you know, playing footy and stuff myself, that's a horrific injury, especially if you're built for speed.
Yeah, he did. It'll take him a bit to come back. But do you think there's a world where Bellamy runs with Munster at fullback for the first, say, even if it's 6 weeks?
Definitely. Even though it was hidden right up till kickoff, I think as soon as Papenhuyzen went down and there was, you know, the news that he wasn't going to return, Bellamy was always going to have Munster at fullback, especially with the halves that he had. You know, a lot of people could have slotted into that halves role and that 5'8" role, but yeah, I know they gave Meany a bit of a stab at fullback and they had Wishart there at fullback, but yeah, it was definitely Munster. And so, Papenhuyzen is 6 weeks out. Munster's definitely worth a look.
And then I'd like to keep Dewey as well with Munster because I think Dewey will score really well.
Well, Schuster's second row. You can move him up to second row if you want to have him, yeah.
And he's someone I'd like drop a Brandon Smith down to, a cheap guy to try and fit in, and drop it to Kamanu out to a really base bench forward, even go cheaper in my centre wing just to fit Munster in at 5'8".
Yeah, I'd do the same. I'd sacrifice Utukamanu. Yeah. Put a second row up to front, Schuster up, and then, yeah, slot Munster in perfect.
Yeah. All right. So that's, yeah, because that's something to think about and look at trials and see if it looks that way because I know Munster will be back.
I think even at trials, Bellamy will keep that. I don't know what the big deal is, but he'll keep that stuff under wraps. Even in trials, we'll see Munster at 5'8". But an hour before kickoff round one, if he's going to move to the back, that's when it'll happen.
Yeah. So have that second team ready to go. Plan. Yeah, a screenshot of it. Mm. All right, what's your centre wing looking like? Because this is weird. Dog's breakfast for me.
Yeah, it is. And I've just sort of filled it. I've got Nickel Klokstad, fullback for Warriors. I do have two cheapies that I've never even heard of. They're bottom dollar. They're just fillers at the moment just to lock that in. But I've gone with Robert Jennings and Azarko from Dolphins.
Yep.
We'll see who grabs a spot there. I've gone with Thompson from South Sydney Rabbitohs. It looks like he might lock that right side up, I hope. I'm a big fan of him. He's a big body. He reminds me of Brian Toto with a bit more bloody meat on him. So he was great coming up through the juniors and stuff. And my last one, I've spent a bit of money on the last one, so I've gone Val Holmes. Again, same sort of reasoning with Reece Robson, just that I think the Cowboys will start strong. Val Holmes, goal kicker, yeah, he makes a lot of stuff happen. And with, what's his name? The Hammer leaving as well. Don't think there's going to be any shuffling. I think the side they run out with is the side that they'll keep. So we'll see how that goes. But there, that's what I've gone with at the moment. So not really too much to discuss. I know a lot of people are going to have Nickel Klokstad, but there's no real cheapies. Once we get closer to round one, there's a few cheapies that pop their heads up. So it's always subject to change.
Yeah, I've got pretty similar. I've got Klokstad, Thompson, a dog center. Hopefully we get the cheap dog center.
Yep.
Another cheap Titan center wing, and then a few same like 300k guys on the bench, just waiting for who's sort of in, who looks good in trials sort of here. I don't have the big money on Holmes, which I'm sort of afraid of, but I'm looking at that as like my Tarpany, or even if I manage to keep Hines, like them two guys sort of managing that out. I know Holmes has a bigger ceiling, but playing the average sort of game over a couple of games, I think they sort of can cover it. Yeah, so I don't think we need much to discuss here.
No, that's right. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to round one with all this sort of stuff as well, especially with Senator Wings.
It's really
easy to follow. I think your Senator Wings are going to be pretty flexible. I think you're going to need the full seven to be playing. Especially with the buyers, so you can swap them around and whatnot. But
yeah,
it's always going to change. And I've promised myself this year not to jump on any bandwagons in the Senator wing, like Ronaldo Mulatalo was a bad one last year. I jumped on him and he was just terrible ever since I brought him in. There's a few that I grabbed last year that I really regret. Should have just grabbed Manu.
Yeah, you could have done what I did with Manu and, had him, bought him round two, sold him round three.
Ruben Garrick was another one when he moved to fullback. He banged out two or three good scores, and I had him while he was at wing before Turbo went down last year, but after that he just regressed, eh? He just sort of...
Yeah, just...
dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, it's sort of trying to find the guy before they go off, I think.
Yeah, that's the key. It's hard to do.
But yeah, what about, let's move on to fullback.
Fullbacks. So I've gone, Latrell Mitchell.
Yep.
And Jake Avarillo. I'm not super sold on Avarillo or Mitchell at that price, to be honest. Again, subject to change. I guess we're just all sitting on our hands waiting to hear a bit more news from either Turbo or Pappenhausen. I think you'd probably really have to sit, wait, and watch both of them play. I don't think we'll see either Turbo or Pappenhausen in any trials, so it's going to be a tough one to grab, because fullback's a position I like to lock in and just ride if I can. But usually you've got your guys like your Tedesco and your Turbo or your Pappy and just sit and leave, you know what I mean? But a bit concerned about Tedesco. Like, I know there's a fair bit of chat about him starting slow, but the stats sort of suggest otherwise, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I'm expecting big things from South this year. I know you mentioned it the other day, but we shall wait and see. But Latrell Mitchell's at 900,000. Like, that's the same price as Hines.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a bit up in the air. What do you reckon?
I've got Latrell there. I didn't get on him last year, and I was like, yeah, he's lazy, can't do anything, blah, blah, blah. But looking back at it now, like, he really came back. And I only recently watched that YouTube clip of him going over to, or YouTube video of him going over to the States. And I think a lot of it changed about getting his body right, getting fitter, his whole mindset as well. Thing I like, and that's why I was talking to you about with Souths, they haven't lost anything. Like, they've lost Nichols, yeah, they've lost Nikarima, but they're like, Nichols is a guy who's sort of getting on in his career. They've got Mawali and Daniel Safita coming through now, who are them younger guys who are going to get more of a run, going to make more of an impact. They've got, like, locking Latrell, Cook, Murray, and Walker all up now for extended period. This is like prime time for them. So looking at them big clubs, the top clubs like from last year, top eight, they're one of the ones who actually go into it. Like, that's why I really don't mind the Sharks, because they haven't lost a lot going into the season. So if they can work on that, I think a lot of it was like, and you probably were pulling your hair out last year with Ilias, but I think they've really, like, they've given him the time last year. Yep, it was growing pains, but now he's sort of in that role, he knows what to do. I think they can really push from the outset, and go hard. So I locked Latrell in.
Yeah. Adam Reynolds' first year with us wasn't the greatest, let me tell you that. So he copped a lot of fan criticism and stuff for his first year as well.
Yeah, so I like Latrell. Like, and you look at his stats, and like, he's priced at, yes, he's expensive, he's priced at that 84 average. But when
so damaging.
When he came back from the States, he had, from round 16 to 25, he had a 97-point average.
I've got Latrell on all the social media platforms, like your TikTok, your Insta, all that sort of stuff. And he's been putting up a lot of videos around the farm. So he's had Blake Taff, and he's had Cam Murray and stuff out there helping him on the farm. I assume it's out of Taree or whatever, but he looks fit.
And yeah,
I said this last year, like, Latrell Mitchell, just like in normal clothes, he looks fit, he looks pumped, solid, ready to go. He looks like a beast. But you throw a jersey on him, it'd be good to see what he looks like this year, to see whether he's, you know, got that mold. But last year, I think he was still carrying a bit of weight on him, maybe, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want to kick the guy at all, but. Yeah, I think if he was to really focus on that, he'll...
Yeah, I think fitness and mental game for him, like, knowing his body's correct, and, like, he's a competitor, and it's just staying injury-free and the silly suspensions. Like, you can see he wears his heart on the sleeve and gets a bit too carried away sometimes, but you can see, like, he can be... Honestly, I think he could be the top fullback this year if he has his head straight.
Yeah, if Pappenhausen can't run...
Yeah, that and that. but yeah, I've got Turbo there, like a guy who's just so damaging when he's fit. I know there's risk, but I think if he's to come back from the States, he's, and Manly's to say, yeah, he's all good, he's 100%, he's going to suit up round one, and come kickoff he suits up round one, I think you just got to bank on that. Yeah, all right, he's good to play. I've sort of toyed with the idea that, well, if Manly's got the bye round two, if he's not 100%, they're not going to risk him. They can hold him off till round two and then play him round three. But if he's fit, I reckon he's a play. And you just got to go for it, risk it. The only thing I've thought about, and it's a bit wishful thinking, is if Munster was, or word was to get around that he is fullback, like some people thought that, all right, well, Ponga's moving to 5'8", he might get that duel before the season starts.
He won't.
Because they said, like, Supercoach really hasn't opened yet. It's open, what, Australia Day, another week or so.
Mm-hmm.
But if Munster was to be put into fullback, that would make my life a hell of a lot easier, because I'd go from Trbojevic up to Munster in a heartbeat.
I don't think that'll happen.
But, yeah, we won't know that. It won't happen. Like you said, it'll be a last-minute thing to pull our sides apart.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are screaming to get Manu as dual as well, so he can slot in at fullback there. But even if it was, I wouldn't be interested in Manu at 800,000. But
no, not to start, but definitely getting on him at State of Origin time.
Yeah, especially with Smith won't play Origin either. Yeah. Could be interesting there that time. All right, that just about wraps us up, man. We've clocked over near 50 minutes there. So is there anything else you want to try and discuss? We'll keep this first one as short as it has been, I suppose.
I think it's a good first one.
Yeah, definitely. Throughout the year, we'll we'll try to keep the momentum with this and try to keep it a weekly thing and maybe get some guests on and stuff like that. Some, maybe we can line up somewhere with Podmasters and whatever, but should be a good year. I think we're in for an interesting year. A lot of strategy buys. I think next week they announce everything as well, like how many trades we get, whether we're going to get that boost again this year, anything like that. Like, I haven't even read any new rules that they're trying to bring in or whatever.
Oh, I listened to Guru's podcast Bloke at a Bar, and they talked about the rules a bit, about the change in the rules. And one that they sort of really questioned was the 10-meter rule, that their interpretation of it was, this is just on rules and it might not be like that, it'll be something to look at in the trials. But their interpretation was that both feet have to be behind the line, behind the ref. So like they've sort of explained, like, oh, years gone past, like you have one foot sort of on the line with the ref, so you've already got that meter sort of stance ready to run up to defend. But if you've got 2 feet back behind that line, that's taken a whole nother meter away. So would that improve just base points for forwards, say hookers? Would that make they're going on big time? Like if you've got Brandon Smith on your try line and you've got both feet flat on the try line, there's no way you're stopping him close to the line.
Yeah, well, rules is rules. Like, you know, if you do a kick chase through the defensive line into the in-goal area, like the chaser needs to be onside with both feet behind the kicker. So it definitely does make sense.
There'll be something to look at. That'd be interesting.
But transpiring into Supercoach points, you're talking 1 meter. I suppose you see guys get pulled up a meter short of the line all the time, don't you?
I'm just thinking, like, more like the hit-ups, like instead of just having the forward to make a standard hit-up, would more of them be H8s?
Yeah, true.
Like 2 points instead of one. Like if they've got that extra meter momentum and the defense is back a meter, will they get an extra, like, not, it's not going to be a drastic point thing. And you see like slight improvement there. Is there improvement for like with the held, the refs only going to call held once and they're supposed to get off? Is that going to make the more nifty hookers more scoots, more runs, things like that? So that'd be interesting to watch.
Yeah, well, they might crack down on that a little bit this year. We'll see. Wait and see. But yeah, they'll definitely reinforce that in the trials if it was on their minds.
On the Supercoach point, with like trades and that, with the buys, it's really going to be interesting because we don't know yet and we're going off, say, the expected what we had last year on trades. But, like, if we get enough trades that you can flip players through the buyers, you might as well lock up the big money players, like, and bust your team and have a few nuffs. If we get in enough trades, you can flip, say, all right, Munster starts, run with nuffs. Okay, Cleary's got to buy round 3, flip him for a week if you've got that many trades.
I think people are going to get caught up in price too and be worried about not fielding a 17, so... I kind of feel this year that a lot of people will try and make every position playable. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're going to play $200,000-$300,000 players for, you know, a 40 and a 40, that's 80 points for the week. But if you're running with 16 and you've got a Hines at 900,000, you know, and he notches a 120, then, you know, your 16's better than running 17.
Yeah, and like you've ran nuffs before, and I'm still open to running one or two if I don't start round 1 nearly. Probably 2, I think, would be max. As long as you're not running like 3 Panthers players who have a bye round 3 or 4 Roosters players who have a bye round 4, or even like Tommy and Schuster, if you have another Manly player, that's 3 guys you're missing. But how many years, if we've got enough trades, like I think to finish a season last year, I had trades left over. And I felt like I wasted my boost early on. I was wasting trades here and there. So if you've got enough trades, like you can just flip that cow to some other cow who just comes along.
Yeah,
I know it's a wasted trade, but that's what it's there for. If you're not going to, if you don't have anything else, if you set your team up pretty well and you get your gun sorted,
yeah, you've got to definitely save them boosts this year. I think I kept one right up until the last few weeks, but I chewed through them early, but kept that one. And yeah, so many times where I wanted to use it just to split money, if that makes sense. So someone who's made 250,000, you know, you could sell them and split with two trades and get two others to keep generating some cash. But yeah. I think I used the boost last year to chase points early when it wasn't really necessary.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, points are king. Like, yes, you need to make some money, but not going with a guy like Hines or a Latrell Mitchell, or even like a Munster, if he is playing fullback, that's a lot of points you're letting up early on, and week in, week out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good pod, good first recording, I think. Just having a good convo about our teams.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, they'll change like as we go on, and we not find out more throughout trials and stuff. And like, I know that I heard today there's already two injuries at Parramatta. Nathan Brown, I think he's done a hamstring, and Wonga Blake's broken his arm or something. So we're going to get a few more cheapies before season starts, and there's not even trials yet. So
I heard Arthur's going to fill in at the 13 until Brown's back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's I wonder how he's
going to
go.
Isn't Dylan Brown moving to centre and Jake Arthur's playing six?
Who knows, mate? Let's not go there. Poor kid. All right, mate. That just about wraps it up, eh? Yeah, like you said, very good pod. Let's keep momentum going. Looking forward to a good season.
All right. See ya.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
It's a try.
Well, if you don't believe in fairy tales, we might see the giant fairy tale of all time here right now with Thurston, a kick from the sideline to win a premiership for the Cowboys.